Izamit Carr, and I'm Telly Concepcion, and together we are Beyond the Numbers Podcast. We go beyond the numbers of sports and life to bring you the story within the story of the stories that matter. So come learn, grow, and have some fun with us. We are Beyond the Numbers Podcast.
We know what that sound means. Opening day. Well, kind of. On today's episode, the guys talk MLB delays, opening day history, and give a nod to their other favorite baseball day of the year. But first, they lead off with their numbers of the day.
So my opening day number for today is the number 4. There have only been 4 pitchers that have made their MLB debut on opening day. You probably only will know one of them. Nick Carter from 1908. Not the Nick Carter you're thinking of.
Not that Nick Carter?
Not that Nick Carter. He ain't been around for that long.
Doing music with his brothers? Okay.
You got Lefty Grove from 1925. Jim Bagby in 1938. And Al Gerenhauser. And I know I probably pronounced that wrong. In 1943. No one has done it since 1943.
My number of the day is 714 for Hank Aaron's record-tying home run of Babe Ruth. Took place April 4th, 1974 on an opening day. And of all places, it took place in Cincinnati at Cincinnati's Riverfront Stadium, which is the first place that the first opening day took place. Aaron ended up finishing with 755 career home runs to lead all of MLB.
What are the chances that he does it at the same place?
I didn't know. I've seen that video, but I didn't know it was an opening day. So fun.
Yeah, you see the guy run on the field. You know, we've all seen the video. Right, how crazy is that? No one stopped him. He just kind of came out. And I think he even, if I remember correctly, ran like a couple of the bases with him.
It was an opening day miracle. I think there's no cops on opening day. Is that how the saying goes?
I guess.
There's no crying in baseball. There's no cops on opening day.
Clearly.
So we want to dedicate this episode while we shelter in place to those on the front lines of the coronavirus crisis.
Yeah, to all those people out there, all the nurses, doctors, people working at grocery stores, people delivering groceries, people delivering packages. You're all essential personnel, and you've kind of allowed us to live our lives continuously in our homes and really take care of us and fight this thing head on. So we really appreciate all the work and hard work and tireless work you're putting in.
So from the bottom of our hearts, thank you, and we hope you enjoyed the show.
Be safe.
Today is March 26th, day 79 of COVID, unfortunately, which means the baseball opening day is delayed. The season is delayed. Amit, yeah. Talk to me. How does this make you feel?
You know, it's kind of crazy. Opening day in baseball has its kind of its own special place. Today would have been opening day. It's nice to see that Major League Baseball has taken some pretty cool steps. They're playing throwback games and pivotal games, game sevens, yes, all over. They're on YouTube, they're on TV, they're on Facebook.
I got
a whole schedule
by watching game 162. So I'm pumped. I got my Rays hat on. I see you got your Yankees hat on.
Yeah, you got to represent sitting here in Brooklyn.
This morning, we won.
Yeah.
Nice to feel that.
Yeah, I think at 9 o'clock tonight, they're going to have the Yankees Diamondbacks Game 7 from 2001. I'm going to get to watch Luis Gonzalez hit that little bloop single to shallow center field.
Yep.
To win the World Series in Game 7. What a crazy World Series that was.
Shout out to the Eagles. I don't think they can have bloop singles. Was that their first foray into the big time?
That was a cutter at his hands. And he just, you know, he battled it off.
move out of the way. Gotta... Hoop singles. The hey, new sexy for, is that.
For that franchise, like what a game.
So yeah, so the first opening day actually took place in Cincinnati, 1882. 12 presidents have thrown out a first pitch on opening day, going all the way back to my man William Howard Taft in 1910. Fun fact, he had a wicked curveball.
Or that could just be gravity based on how hard he was throwing. That's whatever true. Works.
He was throwing that just as hard as, what were they throwing in 1910? I don't know.
And this shows you kind of how baseball has changed over the years. 1993 had the highest opening day attendance by the Rockies. The Rockies at Mile High Stadium, April 9th, 1993, packed in 80,227 people into that stadium.
Never would
to
have
watched the Rockies. Yeah, pretty crazy. And I think you look at attendance numbers nowadays, you know, unfortunately, baseball attendance numbers have been down for the last couple of years, just because I think
it looks better in HD.
It looks better. Yeah, I think. Yeah, and I think, you know, the game has changed, the experience has changed.
And attention spans have changed, can we say that?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And you know, we can talk about, you know, the total number of time being played in baseball versus football, but that's a different conversation, right? Because we think of football as a higher, you know, higher touch, more exciting, more action-packed. But the numbers behind that are interesting. We could definitely talk about that later. But going back to opening day numbers, you know, opening day attendance was crazy. Most opening day home runs. There's a three-way tie between Frank Robinson, Ken Griffey Jr., and Adam Dunn. Who would have thought Adam Dunn would be in that list of people?
Nope.
But they've all done it 8 times. Robinson did his pretty much his entire career with the Indians. And his last one, his final opening day home run came in 1975. And at that time, he was actually a player manager for the Cleveland Indians.
That's when you could
so
do
that's that. Kinda, yeah. That and that's actually, fun fact, the reason why managers wear uniforms.
Ah, player manager. I did not know that.
That is the reason behind that. Because bringing the knowledge. Because they used to have managers that would play, and so you have to suit up. So that's where this is coming from.
Because Bill Belichick, when he has to take off the hoodie, he's got to take off the headphones, put the helmet on, go kick the game winner, run back off. If he just wore his uniform the whole time while he's coaching, it'd make that process a whole lot easier.
So much easier. So that's the home run numbers. Hits. Shouldn't be surprising to you. Pete Rose has the record.
Pete, are we allowed to say Pete Rose on the podcast? Okay, say Pete Rose on the podcast. Okay, so
you know, with all the things going on with the Astros and 2017, people want Pete in. If the Astros get to keep their 2017 trophy, then Pete should be let in. But Pete hit the record books with 31 opening day hits with the Reds, Phillies, and Expos. And his final two opening day hits were on April 8th, 1985, just a few months before I was born, where he had a single and a double in a win over Montreal. They won 4-1 that game. Interestingly enough, the only person that's even close to him is Albert Pujols with 18.
Okay.
And with Pujols, you know, edging near the end of his career,
you know,
he really doesn't have the time frame to get to 31.
Guys, I'm not a machine, okay? I'm just Albert.
He's got some. He's Platano power, baby. He's got some years left. You know what I'm saying? Even if he just hits on opening day for the next few years, probably not 20.
Well, yeah. I mean, he'd have to knock out a lot of hits in a short amount of time. But definitely a pretty cool little stat for Rose to have and add to his sort of hit streaks that he has.
Yes, and like Pete Rose says, play is gonna play. I think that's his quote, right?
I think it is. I think that is. That's 100% Pete Rose.
What about pitching on opening day? What's that looking like?
So I've got some. I got two cool ones for you. So there's a couple of pitchers who've sort of had perfect opening day records. They're 2-0, 3-0, but Jimmy Key is 7-0 in opening day games. Pretty crazy. Undefeated as a starter in opening day. He played for the Blue Jays, the Yankees, and the Orioles. His final opening day victory was in 1997 when he gave up four hits in six innings and a 4-2 win over the Royals.
Huh. Interesting.
So, you know, that's not a name that you really stands out to you as this dominant Hall of Fame level pitcher, but on opening day, he's 7-0. Pretty solid starter there.
Nice. Any other pitching facts opening day?
And then my last one is Nolan Ryan, the oldest pitcher to start an opening day game. Nolan was 45 years, 65 days old when he had his final opening day assignment.
And
1992 for the Texas Rangers.
Nice.
He gave up five hits and one run in 4.1 innings that day. And Texas actually ended up winning that game 12-10 against the Mariners. Ryan didn't have his best season at 45. He was 5-9, but he still managed 157 strikeouts that season.
He was still throwing that gas. In the bullpens, I would say, right? The arm.
And he actually ended up coming back for one more season. He came back in 1993 and had 13 more starts. But
nice.
Definitely the oldest starter. And I don't think we've got anyone even close to that in terms of someone that could potentially be an opening day starter.
There's no respect for the elders, you know. Bartolo Colon, Big Sexy, that was my hope. Again, I'm a Dominican, so I'm with the Dominicans now. So Bartolo could have been in there, but he's not this year, is he?
Yeah, so think of it this way. So I think Felix Hernandez, you think of him as one of the older pitchers in the league. He's kind of been around for a little while, right? Has definitely been an opening day staple for the Mariners when he was with them, and now he's with the Braves, of course. He's only 33.
With no sports on and baseball not starting anytime soon, we wanted to discuss the implications of a delayed season and how it would affect the playoffs. But first, let's take a listen to Commissioner Rob Manfred's thoughts.
Well, I think we need to have a regular season with a credible number of games. I think we should have a postseason format that focuses on providing the most possible entertaining product to our fans at a very, very difficult time in our history. And overall, I think our goal is to play as many baseball games as we possibly can, given the limitations associated with the public health concerns.
Okay, so we just heard Commissioner Rob Manfred's comments regarding the delay in opening day and the delay in the season and how that could play out. So what do you think, Ahmed? What are your thoughts here regarding the season getting delayed? And how does this look historically?
So it gets interesting. I think we're going to kind of skip over the pre-expansion era. So if we go back before when they had 154 game seasons, we won't talk about those because we have World War One and World War Two. But let's look at really expansion era. So we had really a total of four work stoppages, and they're really three situations, right? So in 1972, we had a player strike that lasted a week and a half, right? And those games weren't made up at all. Everyone ended up having 155 games rather than 162 in the regular season. In 1981, there was a player strike that wiped out June and July, right? So 2 months of the season. So teams averaged 107 games that season. And that was the lowest total in Major League Baseball history since the advent of the World Series. So 107 was the lowest mark at that point. And then we had a strike in 94 that ended the season at just 114 games per team. And no World Series, nothing happened that year. And that actually didn't get finalized and fixed through the 95 season. So they started the season late in 95.
Which caused the delay.
Yep, and they had 144 games scheduled that year. So those have been the stoppages, but really 107 is the lowest they've gone in the era of the World Series, right? So when we look at where we're at right now and what we're hearing in terms of projections and when they can start, I'm sure Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred and his team are trying to figure out how do we get probably at least 107 games in, which is going to be really, really difficult, right? So when we look at sort of what the schedule was, what was set up for, if you have a late May start, right? So it's March 26th. We can fairly say nothing's happening in April, right? Yeah. If you have a mid-May start, and I would think that once they tell us that, you know, baseball's coming back and we're starting the season, it's going to take at least 2 to 3 weeks to get people back in the run of things, right?
Yeah.
Probably two. I don't think they'll go 3 weeks, but at least 2 weeks for them to have a couple of games going and get people up and running, just used to that again, like the purpose of spring training, right? So they're going to need that. So if we were able to have a game by May 21st, which I think is not possible, right, you would have missed 48 games in the season, gives you 114 games to get
wow.
to. And that's with the season ending on October 11th.
Yeah. And I think what's important too here, especially with baseball, is that opening day is part of the fabric of America, right? Like, just knowing that sports are there, you know, helps us feel better. And I remember vividly, you know, after 9/11, President Bush throwing out the first pitch. And basically that meant, okay, America, we're okay to return to some semblance of normalcy, right? Like, things will never go back to how they were before, but we're trying to get back to normal. And I think people are looking for that now, especially that we're trapped at home. We can't go out except to do essential things, and not having sports on TV is killer. And I don't think people realized how important sports were before. And so, you know, baseball coming back is so important, not only to get a full baseball season, like you're saying, and to get a minimum requirement of games to determine the best teams, but also just to help everybody feel better in the situation.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, you're probably looking closer to a June, mid to late June start. Yeah. You know, this is pretty wide range of things, but if you get into June 18th, June 25th, I mean, you're looking at a total of a maximum of 90 games, maybe,
yeah.
to get us through to the end of the season, and still have a normal postseason after that. And have the normal days of rest, things like that. So it gets hairy pretty quickly, right? Once you get into late, if it's late July, let's say we don't start till July 2nd, you're looking at a 75 game season.
And how would we do that? Like, actually, let me go to the comments we have from Commissioner Rod about getting creative here towards the back half of the season.
Don't have some absolute number in my mind that's a make or break. I think we have to evaluate the situation. I also think that we need to be creative in terms of what the schedule looks like, what the postseason format looks like. You know, obviously our fans love 162 game season and the postseason format that we have. We're probably not going to be able to do that this year. I think that's clear. And it does give us an opportunity to do some different things, to experiment, and to make sure that we provide as many games as possible and as entertaining a product as possible.
Getting creative. So what does that mean? Is there any precedence for, you know, baseball getting creative to squeeze in as many games as possible in a shortened season?
You know, the only thing I can think of that because they did it is in World War One, when they found out that they had to have baseball finished by August 20th, all the teams kind of scrambled and just churned through doubleheaders every day.
Okay, so doubleheaders every day.
I don't know, you know, with what we know, you know, and this is an interesting place to be in right now with the collective bargaining agreement going on and they're having to renew, you know, player health is key. I know we'll talk about this down the road, but load management, we've heard it a lot in basketball. but that's coming to baseball. Load management's going to be something for hitters, for pitchers, based on some of the injuries we're seeing. So I don't think they're going to try to cram in a ton. I think players are going to want as much normalcy and probably even extra time if they can, to recuperate and make sure that they're properly spaced out so that they're not getting hurt. So I really don't see an opportunity.
My question, Amit, will there be baseball in 2020? That's my question. I know pitchers got to warm up. I know catchers got to get ready. I know hitters got to get used to seeing the ball again. And people have to get used to going into crowded spaces and not freaking out anytime somebody coughs and sneezes. Will we have baseball in 2020?
Yeah, I think we will. And I think they're going to probably split it and still have an all-star game, do a front end, a back end, maybe more interleague play.
Okay.
I think this may be a chance for them to try out some things that they've never done before.
In conclusion, shorter, faster, lighter baseball going forward. Try it out, see how it goes for the future.
Hey, what we're not talking about is the Astros, right?
someone's
won.
We'll have to get into that another time.
Someone's won, right? If anyone's happy right now, it's the Astros.
The Astros are so lucky right now. So there will be baseball in 2020. Thank goodness for that. So right now we want to get into
show me the money.
And we want to talk about one of our favorite days, which is July 1st. And other than opening day, as far as baseball day goes, July 1st is up there. You know why, Amit?
Tell me why. What's going on that day?
Of July. You know, we celebrate this day. We call each other on this day.
It's Bobby Bonilla Day. It's Bobby Bonilla Day.
Bobby Bonilla Day. Why is it Bobby Bonilla Day? Well, in 2000, the Mets agreed to buy out the remaining $5.9 million on Bobby Bonilla's contract. But instead of paying Bobby Bonilla $5.9 million at the time, the Mets agreed to make annual payments of $1.2 million for 25 years starting on July 1st, 2011 at 8% interest. Tell me that isn't the most gangster contract you've heard of.
It's pretty amazing. And I think the Mets have been notorious to pull off stuff like this.
And so is Bobby Bonilla, because the Orioles pay him $500,000 a year for 25 years that started in 2004. So I want Bobby Bonilla Day to be my day. I want to get $1.5 or $2 million in the check every year for 25 years. Like, where do I sign up for that?
Do you want to know another fun Mets little contract that they have that they're still paying off?
Please, are they paying Bernie Madoff's prison bill? Or
oddly enough, they're paying Brett Saberhagen's deal.
Wow.
Brett Saberhagen, as we speak in 2020, is 56 years old.
So Brett Saberhagen in hot dogs, right? No.
He has not pitched for the Mets since 1995. And they deferred a $6.25 million deal over 25 years.
So he's
started paying in 2004. And he pretty much gets that paid out yearly.
Can the Mets go ahead? Sorry.
It's kind of crazy. So the cash payout yearly is kind of insane. So for example, this year, that the $250,000 this year, $250,000 next year, all the way through 2028.
Can we put the Mets in charge of Social Security? Please, can the Mets just own Social Security going forward? 1.5 million, once you hit 50, can you just start getting $1 million checks? Right. Can the Mets make this happen? I think so, right?
I mean, they've paid $4.25 million so far, and they've
I want it now.
I know, right?
It's crazy. I want it later. I want the Mets to pay me later. It's my money. I want it later, deferred in annual payments.
I mean, the Mets essentially gave him like a nice little retirement pension plan.
That is true.
Hey, 25 years, we'll give you $250,000 a year.
And it's regardless of Corona.
Yeah, he's still getting paid. But that's going to be interesting. And we can talk about this later for sure. And this is one of the things under contention is with a shortened season, what happens to, you know, service years, payment, you know, what's considered a full season? Are they prorating salaries? What's happening to these guys that, you know, are owed money, that are retired, deferred money? So all that stuff, all those details will be coming out in the next couple of weeks as we get closer to hopefully a season.
Is it safe to say we'll go beyond the numbers on those?
We definitely will.
Nice. So our opening day takeaways. Opening day is one of America's greatest traditions, taking place for over 100 years now.
107 games. I think that's the lowest total that Major League Baseball has had since the advent of the World Series. And I think they're going to try to hit that again this year.
And our final number, 1.9 million. That's what Bobby Bonilla gets paid every year on July 1st. So a lot of baseball players getting paid a lot of money to not play baseball. Thank you for going beyond the numbers with us. We're a weekly podcast dedicated to going beyond the numbers of sports and life to bring you the story within the story of the stories that matter. We're available on all major podcasting platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Whatever you're listening on now, please be sure to click the follow or subscribe button to get our latest content.
And remember, you can find us on Instagram, Beyond the Numbers Podcast, and on Twitter at Beyond TN Podcast.
Till next time,
peace.
This is Telly.
And this is Amit.
And this is Beyond the Numbers,
Beyond the Numbers
podcast.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
We're going to get that right. Man, you don't know the words to the song.
I don't even know where to come in anymore. This is rough.
We promise we'll get it right tomorrow.
Yeah, I figure by episode 200, we may have those words down.